That was very good singing, it seems to me, today. You're in the Christmas spirit. Mitch Albom is an American author and journalist whose work includes Tuesdays with Morrie, the books Tuesdays with Morrie, and The Five People That You Meet in Heaven. And he asked a question which I'm going to ask you, and it's really the crux of what we're about today in our looking at what we want for Christmas. And his question is this: have you ever lost someone you love and wanted one more conversation, one more chance to make up for the time when you thought they'd be here forever? I've been spending part of this December thinking about my parents. My mom has been in heaven 3 years next month. My dad's been gone for 5 years. They both lived into their 90s. They had good lives, good long lives, and reasonably good health up until the end of their life. I mean, reasonably considering. It would be selfish for me to wish them back. But I couldn't live with it anyway. I'd have to say goodbye all over again. You know, you think about that. But there have been times in the last 2 years of my ministry here at church that I would love to have my parents to talk to and share with them some things. For example, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we had the drive-through live nativity. And I can tell you, almost all of you didn't know my dad. A couple of you did. My dad would thoroughly have enjoyed that live nativity. My dad loved it when the church came together and did the ministry, and my dad just adored Christmas. And I found myself out there with Caitlin and some of the youth, and as we were giving candy canes to the cars, Dad would have loved to have been right there with me, and I would have loved to have shared that with him. My sense of nostalgia and melancholy aren't unique to me. 1,000 people were surveyed, and they were asked about this topic of one more moment. Out of 1,000 people surveyed, 560 of them, over 50%, said that they would trade a whole year to have one day with their deceased parent. A whole year for that. That's more than half of them. You know, how about you? You ever wish you had one more moment? And if you had one more moment, what would you do? You're shaking your head. What would you do? What would that moment look like? What would you talk about? And if you had that one more moment, if I had that, do you suppose it would satisfy the longing that's within our heart? Mitch Albom said something that's pretty profound. What he said is, you can go through your whole life collecting days. You can live your whole life collecting days. And none of those days will be as important as the one you wish you had back. Now, what's that have to do with Christmas, apart from the fact that the holidays always kind of bring these feelings out? Well, I'm gonna run down a bunny trail. And I think in 3 minutes, judging from what people told me upstairs, I can bring us all on board and make the connection. My bunny trail is, according to the Christmas story, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's stable, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And he said, don't be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For to you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, it is believed that these shepherds, because they were in the fields outside of Bethlehem, were probably what was called temple shepherds. Meaning that they raised and grazed and protected and watched the sheep that would be used as sacrifice for religious purposes. So they were premier sheep. If that's true, they were a premier flock. And the position was very important, and they would not have left that flock for just any reason. In fact, this is the only part of the sermon that's not pleasant to talk about, but I want to talk about it so that you appreciate the fact that they left. There was punishment for a shepherd who abandoned his or her flock. Punishment. And according to the Bible, the punishment was to cut off the right arm, the working arm, and to gouge out the dominant eye, basically leaving them unable for employment and have to be a beggar for the rest of their life. This is serious. You did not leave your flock for any old reason at all. And yet when the angel of the Lord appeared to them, they said, let's go. Let's see this thing that the Lord has told about, that he's made known to us. And they went, the Bible says, with haste, quickly, like men and women on a mission. And because they were in a vicinity, it didn't take too long, I don't believe, until they found the baby in the manger. Okay, what just as the angel said to them. They had spent their whole lives looking for this child. And suddenly when they were face to face in that moment, it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was holy. It was, here's a word we use a lot, awesome. It was God-inspired. But all too quickly, and now I'm getting around to the point of the sermon, they had to leave. The scripture says they returned to their flocks, praising God. They had to leave and go back to the fields and get on with their lives. Do you think they ever felt sad that they left so soon? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, 10 years later, they were sitting around in the field having a conversation and one of them said, boy, you remember that night, what I wouldn't give to go back? You see, the probability is excellent they never saw this baby and his family again. And I can say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, we don't know how long Joseph and Mary stayed in the stable, but I'm pretty sure not very long at all. And by the time the wise men came, however long that was, they were in a house. That's first. I've already told you, number two, that being a shepherd was a 24/7 responsibility of grazing, nurturing, watching these sheep. And you didn't just leave it for any reason. In fact, the punishment was a fate worse than death. And these shepherds had already tested fate by going and leaving the flock to see the child in Bethlehem. Not likely they're going to go into town again. I'm just saying. And even if they did, by the time the wise men got there, they were, the family, Jesus and his mom and dad, were on their way to Egypt. After the wise men, they were on their way to Egypt, where they stayed possibly up to 8 years. That's a long time. And when they came back, they didn't come back to Bethlehem. They were going to, but they went to Nazareth, which is 100 miles away. 100 miles. So these shepherds, who weren't rich by any means, probably never forgot the first Christmas and very much definitely never saw that moment happen in their lives again. And I'm thinking that because it is Christmas. There are many of you who will celebrate the holiday. This morning upstairs, we had 12. You will celebrate the holiday with somebody who was very important to you at one time who's not here now. And you have to go back to your fields and get on with your life, just like they did. All I want for Christmas, that's what we've been talking about. All I want for Christmas is to relive, if I could, one of my Christmases. And if I had one more moment with some of my loved ones, particularly my parents, I have some things that I would say. If I had one more moment, I would want to say, I love you. Because this might surprise you, in my family of origin, we said that too seldom. If I had one more moment, I would say, I'm sorry. If you've never apologized to your parents and they're still living, do it. You'll be thankful. I would want to say to them, I'm grateful for what we had and for what you gave me. And I would want to tell them, because my dad in particular would want to, I've grown. I've changed. Great things are happening in my life. If I had one more moment, I would ask some questions. And I would ask the question that you'd ask. I know you would. And what you would ask is, what's it like in heaven? And you would probably ask, are you happy there? And then you would ask, do you think of me? Do you wish you had one more moment? But I got to tell you, if I had one more moment with, say, my mom and dad, you know what I would do? I would give them right back to Jesus. And I wouldn't hold on tight. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus has for them something so wonderful and so much tailor-made to suit them. It's better than anything this world has to offer. Though the shepherds never saw the child again in this life, they believed and trusted that he'd make things better in the next life. And he did. That little baby, can I tell you about the little baby? He grew up to be a man. And one of the things that that man did is show us who God is and what God's about. He showed us that God is, contrary to what some of us think, God is loving. He showed us God is forgiving. He showed us God is wise and discerning. He showed us that God is with us. And nothing can separate us from his love. When that little baby grew up to be a man, one of the things that that man did was tell us the beauty of heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many, many rooms. If that weren't so, I wouldn't tell you. I go there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And the book of Revelation tells us that that place is so wonderful, there's no more death, there's no crying, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no cancer, there's no strokes, there's no wheelchair, there's no Lou Gehrig's disease, none of that stuff. That little baby grew up and became a man. And when that baby became a man, his name is Jesus. Jesus the Christ, if you don't know him. He died on the cross. But the grave couldn't keep him in the grave. And because he lives, we also live. You know that. We also have life. He died for your sins and mine. He died for my crud. And I'm so glad that he did. Because he did, I can stand before the throne of grace, which is God's throne, without fear. Because nothing's going to take me away from his love. The word says so. If I had just one more moment. I'm sure these shepherds often thought to themselves, whatever happened to that little baby? I'm sure they did. And they wondered about that night. But in the meantime, they lived trusting in the Savior that in time he would make the difference. I just want to acknowledge today that there are some of you who have said goodbye to your parents, and there are some of you that have said goodbye to your spouse. There are some of you that said goodbye to children. I can tell you there is no death that's as bad as saying goodbye to a child. And as there's one thing I've learned as a pastor, it is it doesn't matter how old that child is. That child could be an infant, and that child could be 60. When that parent has to cover up the body with a sheet, it's tremendously grieving. Your parents are always your parents. And some of you have lost your parents, and some of you, I'm not trying to depress you, but I'm just trying to say I acknowledge that. And there may be a few of you for whom Christmas, maybe you're feeling a little sad. Or maybe you're like Joel and you're feeling a little nostalgic. I still remember my Christmases with my parents. Maybe, and when I said this morning, I was actually preaching to somebody in my own family, but they didn't know it. Maybe you're a little angry. Maybe you're confused or remorseful. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to feel those things. Sometimes we just need permission to feel what we feel. How else would we feel? But the thing of the matter is, I personally want to say to you and to me, Jesus has not forgotten you. And that he will give you his peace. He absolutely will. And he will make it what it needs to be. It's okay to want one more moment. There's nothing wrong with you for wanting one more moment, except I got to tell you that you're probably not going to get that moment until you're with them again in paradise. Now you say to me, will we be reunited in paradise? I mean, will I really see my spouse? Will I really see my child? Well, let's talk about that. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 6 says, the dead will rise first, and then we who are behind will meet them in the air. If we meet them in the air, I think we're going to be reunited. Until that moment, make the most of the moment you have with the ones who are still around you who are living, and make it count, and accept what was on faith. I actually had a conversation, and I'm not going to tell you who with, but with somebody in our church who lost a loved one this year. This was back in October. And that person said to me, I talked about what I would be preaching on the fourth Sunday of Advent, and that person said to me, this is what I would say. Make every moment count with the moments you have with the people you're with. Don't leave anything unsaid. Don't leave any business unfinished, because you never know when the inevitable might happen. And this person said, if you can live that way, you'll live without regret. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, which was on the screen and Liz reads, God says, in a favorable moment, I, the Lord, listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. In the favorable moment, I listened, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Then God said, today is the moment. Now is the time. Can I tell you something? God couldn't possibly love you any more than God loves you right now. It would be impossible for God to love you more. God cannot possibly help you any more than God is willing and wanting and will help you right now. This is very good news of comfort and joy. And what I would like to say this Christmas, and I'm talking to me, maybe not talking to you, take time to reflect. Give thanks for what was. Give thanks for what is. And find your peace. We started a new tradition upstairs today, and hopefully it'll continue for some time. It's a tradition I started way back in the first churches I served. But you've given poinsettias in honor or in memory of someone, which we appreciate, 83 of them. Upstairs, those poinsettias, some of them, have been formed into a nice poinsettia tree. You'll see it tomorrow night. If you're not going to be here tomorrow night, you must walk up and see it before you go home. And that tree I call our tree of life. That tree stands for those in our congregation who have gone on and been with the Lord since last Christmas. Anybody whose funeral I have done, okay? In just a minute after prayer, we're going to pause for a moment of silent meditation, and I'm going to show you who we've lost and who God has gained. Let us pray. Precious and loving God, generations pass before you, and as they do, you are there to welcome those generations into glory. You have sent Jesus as hope to a world that's in short supply. He reveals your glory as he wipes away every tear from our eyes. He is peace. He is truth. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. So this morning here in this place, we're going to remember those who lived, labored, and loved among us. Because their lives, we know better how to live. Because of their suffering, we know that there's victory in you. And because of their moving on, we better understand what we need to do to carry on. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We grieve not as those who have no certainty that something far more wonderful is coming. We experience and feel loss, but we're not alone. We have a joy and a peace which this world doesn't know, and neither can it give away. I praise you for the light that you bring, which pierces all darkness, for your wisdom that's beyond human understanding, and for your love that comes to us, even if still, after all these years, we grieve. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son to save us and give us faith this morning to believe in him and to receive what we need in his grace for healing. For our help is in him and our hope is in him, and it is in his name that we offer our loved ones and ourselves to you. Amen. This morning on our tree, do you have a picture ready for me, sweetie? We remember Dodie Etter. Doris Jean Etter. Ray sits in the back and he can't be here today because he's in Nashville with his granddaughter. We remember Aiden R. Ebersole. We remember Robert E. Bob Faust. We remember Mary Susan Susie Fry. We remember and give thanks for Ruth L. Myers Hallbaker. We remember Samuel S. Fitz. Quite a legacy for me to stand on. We remember pastor and friend Donald H. Don Fogelsanger. We remember Kathy's sister, whose funeral I did in July, Barbara Bennett. We remember Robert L. Bob Rotz. We remember Leota G. Burkholder. And we remember Ronald L. Ron Hughes. And finally, a faithful sister whose funeral we just did on Tuesday, we remember Cora S. Crunkleton. And we remember your loved ones. And we're with you. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ keep you, walk with you, and be with you. And the band is coming forward, and they're going to leave us with Silent Night. And when that's over, and you've had time to reflect, we will go home.